I read to you Psalm 54. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David. When the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Now the title of this psalm, Psalm 54, reads, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? When the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? Now the Ziphites lived about 15 miles southeast of Hebron. And we need to read 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verses 13 to 24. And then we can get a background of this psalm. 1 Samuel 23 verses 13 to 24. Then David and his men, who were about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up the expedition. He gave up the expedition. And David remained in the strongholds in the wilderness, in the hill country of the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not give him into his hand. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went home. Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh, on the hillside of Hakilah, which is the south of Jeshimon? Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire to come down, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand. And Saul said, may you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go, make yet more sure. Know and see the place where his foot is, and who has seen him there. For it is told me that he is very cunning. See therefore, and take note of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with sure information. Then I will go with you, and if he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. Now there's a map that is found in the ESV Study Bible on page 524, which traces the different places to which David fled when he was fleeing from Saul. And I put up that map on your screen. You can see the map on the screen. We see Keilah in the map that is marked as number 10. David moved from Keilah to the wilderness of Ziph when he heard that Saul was coming to Keilah. David and his growing army, now the army was around 600 men all around with David. The army of 600 men with David. So David and his growing army of 600 men relocated to the wilderness of Ziph, that is marked as number 11 in the map. After the men of Ziph betrayed David to Saul, David and his men went to live in the wilderness of Maon, which is marked as number 12 in the map. The Bible records that the Ziphites betrayed David to Saul two times. The second time they did this is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 26 verse 1. Then the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding himself on the hill of Hakilah, which is on the east of Jeshimon?" But both times the Lord delivered David. Now this Psalm, Psalm 54, reveals three stages in David's experience as he is turning to God for help. First, we see the starting point where he experiences danger from the enemy in verses 1 to 3 that is described. Then you have the turning point where he experiences confidence in the Lord in verse 4. And then we have the finishing point where he experiences praising the Lord, verses 5 to 7. He praises the Lord, verses 5 to 7. Now we look at the starting point. He experiences danger from the enemy. Psalm 54 verses 1 to 3. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites went and told Saul, "Is not David hiding among us? O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me, ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. They do not set God before themselves." So David's life is in danger. Look at verse 3. "For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves." In 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 15, I read it again. 1 Samuel 23 verse 15. David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. Yes, David's life was in danger, and he called on God to save him and vindicate his cause. In 1 Samuel chapter 24 verse 15 we read, "May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand." You see, David was the rightful king of Israel, and the future of the nation and the dynasty lay with him. And this included the promise that the Messiah would come from David's line. The Lord had spoken to David through Nathan the prophet regarding this promise. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 12 to 17. "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. And now David is crying out to God and he's saying, "O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might." Psalm 54 verse 1. By your name. That means on the basis of your character. In one of the songs that the children sang, there's so much about the character of God. It's so important for us to understand the character of God. David pleads to God on the basis of God's strength here. "And vindicate me by your might." Psalm 54 verse 1. By your name. On the basis of your character. And then he asks God to He pleads to God on the basis of God's strength, "and vindicate me by your might." He pleads to God on the basis of God's faithfulness. Psalm 54 verse 5. "He will return the evil to my enemies in your faithfulness, put an end to them." Then David promised to praise God's name after the great victory. Psalm 54 verse 6. With a freewill offering I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. David used three different names of God in this short psalm. First, he uses the name Elohim. And this is the first name used for God in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God. The word there is Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is the God of all majesty, God of all authority, God of all power. He is the supreme one. That's what the word Elohim means. Then David uses the word Adonai in verse 4. Adonai means Lord or Master. He is the sovereign God who rules over us. Then we find David using the word Jehovah. It's better pronounced as Yahweh. And this is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. And this name Yahweh consists of the sequence of Hebrew consonants. Yod, He, Wah, and He. These are the four Hebrew consonants. These four Hebrew consonants is what makes up this word Yahweh. It is written as Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters in many English versions. And this is the word that is used in Psalm 54 verse 6. God revealed himself to Moses as the self-existing, uncreated, eternal one. That's what the word Yahweh means. The self-existing, uncreated, eternal one. Exodus chapter 3 verses 14 to 15. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, that's where you find the word Yahweh, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Now all these names of God reveal the very character of God. And the use of these names of God by David shows clearly that David knew his God personally. Psalm 54 verse 2. O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Hear my prayer. Verse 2. That is a favorite way of approach that David uses with God. Hear my prayer. Psalm 4 verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Psalm 39 verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears, for I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers. Psalm 143 verse 1, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. So, hear my prayer. That is a way in which David approaches God. He cries out, O God, hear my prayer. Psalm 54 verse 3. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Now this word strangers here in verse 3 does not suggest that his enemies were Gentiles. These Ziphites actually belong to the tribe of Judah. They were David's own tribe. He was rejected by his own people. It is something extremely distressing when you are rejected by your own. Remember, the Lord Jesus himself was rejected by his own people, the Jews. The same word, strangers, is used in Job chapter 19 verse 13 to describe Job's family and friends. Job 19 verse 13. He has put my brothers far from me, and those who knew me are wholly estranged from me. David uses this word strangers in a similar way in Psalm 69 and verse 8. Psalm 69 verse 8. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. Now this word can describe anybody who has turned his or her back on someone. And this is what the Ziphites certainly did to David, their own king.
They rejected him. Now, why did they do it? Because they disregarded the Lord. They disregarded the Lord and God's will for the nation of Israel. Unlike David, these Ziphites did not set God before them. They did not set God before them. Psalm 16 verse 8. Psalm 16 verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. That's what David did. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Now the wicked have no regard for God. They don't have any regard for God's ways. Psalm 10 verse 4. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Psalm 36 and verse 1. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Again, Psalm 86 verse 14. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life. And they do not set you before them. David, he says, I have set the Lord always before me. But the wicked ones, they do not set you before them. Psalm 54 verse 4. That is the turning point. Verse 4 is the turning point in the psalm, where David experiences confidence in the Lord. The turning point, confidence in the Lord. Psalm 54 verse 4. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. This is the central verse of the psalm, and it records the turning point in David's experience. The word translated here as help or helper is related to the word Ebenezer in 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12. 1 Samuel 7 verse 12. Thus far the Lord has helped us. This is a word David often used in his prayers. Psalm 10 verse 14. But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 30 verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Psalm 33 verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So if you feel helpless in life, remember, he is the Lord who is there for us. He's our Ebenezer. He's our helper. Hitherto he has led us. Our soul waits for the Lord. Psalm 33 verse 20. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 79 verse 9. Help us, O God of our salvation. Help us, O God of our salvation. For the glory of your name, deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. And that's exactly what God did by sending his only begotten Son into this world, who atoned for our sins by his blood shed on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sins so that you and I could be set free from the penalty of sin and from the power and the grip of sin, and so that we can serve God. Psalm 86 verse 17. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. You have helped me and comforted me. Psalm 115 verses 9 to 11. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You see, we are helpless people, bound by sin, bound by the evil one, crushed by the enemy. But he comes to help us. He delivers us. He has paid the price for our sins. And he washes us by his precious blood. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now it is important to note that Jonathan visited David about this time, and the Lord used Jonathan to encourage David. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verses 16 to 18. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. He encourages David, God's servant. Verse 17, and he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Saul my father also knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh and Jonathan went home. Now the Lord doesn't always send angels to encourage us. Sometimes he uses other believers to minister to us. And that's why it's so important to be a person of encouragement. Acts chapter 9 verses 26 to 28. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him. This is what happened when Saul got converted. Everyone was scared of him. Acts 9, 26 to 28. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him. For they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. Every believer in Christ ought to be a Barnabas, a son of encouragement. There is a great need for such sons of encouragement in God's church today. Acts chapter 11 verses 19 to 26. Again we find Barnabas. Acts 11, 19 to 26. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. So it's so important for us to be a people of encouragement. And that's how the church grows, when we encourage one another. And when new believers come in, they are also encouraged and they grow. Then we come to the finishing point in David's experience. This is a time of praise. The finishing point, praise to the Lord. Psalm 54 verses 5 to 7. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness put an end to them. With a freewill offering I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Now David had opportunity to slay Saul two times, but he refrained from doing so. David knew that God would one day deal with the rebellious king Saul. 1 Samuel 26 verses 8 to 11. Then Abishai said to David, God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Now please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear, and I will not strike him twice. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said, as the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should put out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But take now the spear that is at his head and the jar of water and let us go. Psalm 54 verse 5 says, he will return the evil to my enemies. The Amplified Bible says, he will pay back evil to my enemies. Evil people are not going to get away. At one point of time, they will have to face God. They will have to face judgment. Psalm 7 verses 15 to 16. He makes a pit, digging it out, and falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. Psalm 35 verses 7 to 8. For without cause they hid their net for me, without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him when he does not know it. And let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it to his destruction. Proverbs 26 verse 27. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. Proverbs 28 verse 10. Whoever misleads the upright into an evil way will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will have a goodly inheritance. Proverbs 29 verse 6, an evil man is ensnared in his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices. You see that? An evil man is ensnared in his transgression, but a righteous man sings and rejoices. That's why David is now full of praise. David was away from the sanctuary. He is fleeing from King Saul. But he lifted his voice in praise to God, and his words were like a freewill offering to the Lord. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15, we are exhorted to praise God. Hebrews 13 verse 15. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. In verses 1 to 6 of Psalm 54, David spoke directly to the Lord. But in verse 7, he is speaking to those around him, and he gave witness to the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 54 verse 7, for he has delivered me from every trouble. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. His words, David's words, reveals his faith, because he speaks of his deliverance as though it is already completed, as he looked calmly at his enemies. He is so calm, he knows that deliverance is already there. It has come. It has not yet taken place, but he's so assured. Psalm 59 verse 10. My God in his steadfast love will meet me. God will let me look in triumph on my enemies. Great faith. Psalm 92 verse 11. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. Psalm 118 verse 7. The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. David had more suffering and peril to experience before he would ascend the throne. But he was confident that the Lord would see him through. He has not yet become king. He has not yet become the king of Israel. There's a lot more suffering that he has to go through before he will be on the throne. But he's so confident that the Lord will see him through. And God indeed sees him through. Now before we close, let's remind ourselves of what David is saying. First, in Psalm 54 verse 4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. Remember that David wrote those words when he was hiding from King Saul. We can translate this verse like this. The Lord is the mainstay of my life. The Lord is the mainstay of my life. The Lord is the mainstay of my life. That, let that be the assurance that you have as you go through this year. We've just begun the year. The Lord is the mainstay of my life. Is God the mainstay, the main support of your life today? Make sure that is true in your life. David went through several stages waiting for God to help him. He began with prayer. Psalm 54 verses 1 and 2. O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. O God, hear my prayer, give ear to the words of my mouth. That's an amazing way to pray. He is being attacked by his enemies, by those who are arrogant and had no room for God in their lives. David needs help. David needed help, and so he cries out to God. Then we see the turning point in verse 4, where David's faith goes to work. First we see him praying, and then we see his faith at work. Psalm 54 verses 4 to 5. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. David is now trusting in the Lord. Now it is one thing to cry out to God, but it is something else to believe that he is going to hear an answer. Many of us, we pray. But our problem is, we don't trust. Prayer and belief and trust, faith, must go together. So it is one thing to cry out to God, but it is something else to believe he is going to answer. He is going to hear and answer my prayer. David ends this psalm with praise. Prayer, faith, praise. Psalm 54 verse 6. With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. Now, why does David end with praise? Verse 7. Psalm 54 verse 7. For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. This is an interesting sequence of experiences. That's what the psalm is about. David had trouble. This led him to trust God, which resulted in triumph. He had a problem, so he turned to prayer, which brought about praise to the Lord. When you're in trouble and forced to wait for help, it is most important where you place your faith. Remember, the object of your faith is faithful. The object of your faith must be no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ, who left glory, came into this world, took upon himself human flesh, shed his blood on the cross for your sins, to forgive you, to set you free from bondage and slavery to sin, and he rose again from the dead, and he has come to dwell in your life. He has come to dwell in you. He has come to dwell in you by his Spirit. Ask yourself, do I put my faith in him? Have I put my whole weight on him? Am I trusting him? Is your sequence of experiences similar to David? Problem to prayer to praise. Problem to prayer to praise. Trouble to trust to triumph. Trouble to trust and to triumph. Next time you must wait for help, let your faith go to work. God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer.